The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus revealed himself to his disciples and eaten breakfast with them, he said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. When he said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Here we have the last part of the last gospel. And you have a couple more verses, then it's over. We move into the Acts of the Apostles. I think to understand this, we have to understand the whole context of what actually happened before this encounter between Jesus and Peter. Peter says, "I'm going fishing." So they go fishing and they catch only the breeze. That's all, okay? So the whole night they're fishing, they're dropping their nets in, and they probably get a good wind burn, as I've had, and you have probably also. And so the sun is rising, and they see there's a man standing on the shore. And they don't know who this man is. He says, "Well, why don't you drop your nets on the other side of the boat?" And I guess they got nothing to lose, no? They haven't caught anything yet, except catching the breeze, no? And they do it. So they drop the nets, and they catch so many fish that they can barely drag the net into the boat. That moment, they recognize that man, that's Jesus. They didn't recognize him. Then Peter, preparing for the Olympic Games, he throws himself in the water and he swims to the shore, no? He swam the 100, okay? So he arrives at the shore before the others. It's only about 100 yards away, the size of a football field. And there Jesus is, standing on the shore. So Peter is on the shore and sees Jesus. And Jesus is preparing breakfast for them, like a good mother preparing breakfast for the ones that he really loves. Because don't forget, when they're fishing, I think some of you have probably fished before, it wasn't the way we fish. You got a line, you got a bamboo stick, and you throw it in, you pull it out. Their fishing would be dropping these huge nets into the water. And you pull up a net, drenched with water, hey, better than weightlifting, huh? You do that every hour, five times. They're out there, maybe 7 hours. Five times seven, I think, is 35, if my math doesn't fail me. So they did that 35 times, they'd be exhausted, and they'd be famished. So Jesus is purposely preparing a meal for these guys, because they couldn't order out to Pizza Hut or Domino's Pizza or Taco Bell. I mean, they couldn't do that, no? That didn't exist. So they were hungry. And Jesus recognized that. So Jesus is preparing a wonderful meal for these apostles. Not luxurious. Not like Black Angus or any of these kind of luxurious places, no? Basically, fish sandwiches. And he says, "Eat." So there they're eating. Before Jesus. And Jesus is watching them with so much love, and they recognize him, And by the way, you know how many fish they caught? 100 feet, 53 whoppers. Not little sardines, but biggies, no? 153 big fish. Whenever Jesus does it, he does it in grande, as they say in Spanish, huh? He does it well. Okay, that's the context to understand the rest of the passage. If you just read the passage without connecting with that, it's truncated or not going to be fully understood. Okay, now, what happens is Jesus, after he feeds them, he takes Peter apart. And they're walking on the Sea of Galilee, they're walking, and someone's walking behind him. And that's not mentioned in the Gospel today. And that is St. John. So St. John is walking behind, Peter's walking side by side. And as they're walking, try to imagine it. This is a great Ignatian contemplation. This is a great one. This is the contemplation to obtain love, which is the crowning of the exercises. Jesus stops and looks at Peter right in the eyes, says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Yes, I love you, Lord." And he says, "Feed my lambs." So they're walking a little bit more, and Jesus stops and looks at Peter right in the eyes and says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, feed my sheep." So they're walking a little bit more, and Jesus stops Peter and says, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt, because he asked him three times. He said, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my lambs." There's a lot there. Why did Jesus ask him three times? You should know this. A catechetical test. Because something that happened on Holy Thursday night, Jesus made a prophecy. He said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." Did it happen? Yeah. It happened. So what was happening? Jesus, the high priest, was going through the confession of Peter, like priest and penitent. He denied him three times. He had to say, "I love you," three times. Perfect model for confession. You go to confession, we have to tell Jesus we're sorry. Not once, not twice, not three times, maybe even more than that. So what he's teaching Peter is that he's forgiven. But he wants Peter to say, "Lord, I love you." He wants to hear him. Because those same lips or tongue that said, "I don't even know who Jesus is," had to say, "Lord, I love you." You know, it was more important for, almost more important for Peter to say it than for Jesus to listen to it. You hear me? It was more important for Peter to say it for his own good than for Jesus to hear it, because Jesus can even read the hearts. But for Peter's sanctification, for his forgiveness, for his restoration, for reparation, Peter had to say that. Now, what does this lamb's sheep business mean? What is this lamb's sheep business? Why lamb's sheep? You know, probably going to say, Peter was never a shepherd. He was a fisherman. What's this stuff? Is Jesus going to make him a shepherd now and he leave the fish? No, you have to get the spiritual interpretation. Peter is called to be the first pope in the Catholic Church. That's what it is. The first pope. And the sheep and the lambs are this. He's called to shepherd the apostles. He's called to be the chief of the apostles and their leader. And you notice, if you're paying attention during the Acts of the Apostles for 50 days, I hope you're paying attention. I hope so. Peter is always taking the initiative. He's the one that's speaking up. He's with the apostles, but Peter speaks. After Pentecost, he gets up and he converts 3,000 people in one homily. Wow. Then he does it again. But it's Peter that's taking the lead. So Peter is given the role to be the prince of the apostles, the first pope. But also he's called not simply the lambs, but all the sheep. He's called to be the chief shepherd of all the sheep. Who is that today? That's Pope Francis. Yep. Number 266. So any of you can come to me tomorrow and name the 266 popes. I'll give you $5, okay? But it has to be in order, okay? You don't have to tell me their name before being pope. You have to do it in order, okay? So there we have the papacy. This passage is forgiveness, it's love, it's the papacy, and one last thing. How did Peter die? Yep. If you saw the movie of St. Paul the Apostle, hopefully it's still there, you can see it. Go and take your kids to see it. St. Paul the Apostle. Both Peter and Paul ended up in Rome. And that movie is the time of the death of both Peter and Paul. Paul is in the Mamertine prison where the Oblates have our house today. Did you know that? Our house is over the Mamertine prison. So next time you go to Rome, visit the Mamertine prison, say hello to the Oblates. But speak Italian, okay? So Peter is going to be crucified. He's going to be crucified upside down. Paul is going to be beheaded. And according to tradition, some of you maybe have seen the film Domino Covadis. Have you? Domino Covadis. That's the film of the death of Peter. Because what happened was Nero was one of the most fierce persecutors with Diocletian and Decius, the three worst persecutors of Catholicism. He lived in the time of Nero, and there was a fire. And most likely, Nero started the fire so they'd be able to build him a new palace. Sharp guy, huh? So what did he do? Scapegoat. Aha! Let's blame it on those Christian guys. Let's get the two big bananas, Peter and Paul. They're here in Rome now. So they killed both Peter and Paul almost the same time, in the time of the persecution of Nero. Paul was beheaded, and Peter was crucified upside down. Did you know that? Crucified upside down. Why upside down? Because he didn't feel worthy to die the same way that Jesus Christ died. So that's the interpretation of that last verse. It says, when he was young, he would get up and dress the way he wanted and go his own way. But when you're older, you'll be taken against your will and you'll be fastened, indicating the way in which Peter would glorify the Lord. Okay, let's end with a note for ourselves. How many people here are sinners? ¿Cuántos son pecadores? Okay. Have you ever denied Jesus? Say yes, Father. Have you denied him more than 3 times? Probably more than 300 times. Maybe more than 3,000 times. We are like Peter. We've all failed the Lord. And many times, in many places, in thought, word, deed, and mission, Peter failed him 3 times. We failed him many, 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 many more times. But Jesus, as he loves Peter, he loves us. He loved Peter, he loves us. So today is a day in which you have to say, Jesus, you know all things. You know that I love you. Amen.